yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.
Okay. So, tonight for supper, I bought some stuff at work. We have a little market thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought some spinach artichoke dip.
Oh, yeah, that's usually good.
It seemed good, and it was pretty low carb, which is what I'm working on at the moment. And so, but I looked. It had an ingredient list.
Okay.
Something was conspicuously absent.
Spinach? Artichoke?
Yep.
One of those two.
Exactly. And I was like, huh.
I should have guessed artichoke, because if the spinach were missing, it would be really noticeable. But the artichoke, you might not notice.
Yeah, because you could have just like a spinach dip.
Yeah.
A lot of times you wouldn't just have an artichoke dip.
Because in spinach artichoke dip, the spinach is the green that you can clearly see. The artichoke is kind of mixed in, blended
but
in with
frequently
the cream.
Decent sized pieces.
Sometimes,
like,
sometimes.
Like if you gave me a dip and was like, does this have artichoke? I feel like I could tell
easily. Yeah, sure.
But still, like, it's in the name. I'm right. Like, what the heck? But, right. You know, I'm fine. Artichoke's not my favorite part of that thing anyway. The cream cheese probably is. But anyway, so I buy it, bring it home, eat it. No, tons of artichoke in there.
Oh.
Tons. No idea what the fuck is going on.
That's hilarious.
I mean, and just in case, we thought it was some weird thing where they're like, we don't have to say it if it's in the title. They mentioned spinach in the ingredients.
Sure, right.
Yeah, it was there.
They did just forgot, I guess.
Which is hard to do, because it was the biggest pieces in there.
Yeah, I guess.
Very weird.
Did you not like it, or?
No, it's fine.
Oh, okay.
I wanted something for the cold open, and I had like four ideas earlier, and I've forgotten them all, so.
Okay. Okay.
That's what we get. Spinach artichoke dip.
Are you going to say hello?
Oh, shit, we got more to do, don't we?
Yeah.
All right.
Lots more.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that takes all of your just everything, and then we take it, and it's sort of like we there's a little on the, and then wrap together, and it's just it all just so like almost or but like not like in a good and then we record it.
Yep.
And for you.
That's how the sausage is made, people.
Yep.
Right there.
That was my lame-ass attempt at Lily Tomlin's old laughing bit, which she does so much better. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 430, which you will hear right after we record
yes,
it.
Yes, this is episode two of the four.
Unlike the next two episodes that
but
are gonna each going to be two weeks old.
Yeah. It's going to be out there. This week's special letter is E, but don't get your hopes up because I totally didn't give a special letter in episode 3. So be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
Well,
and
technically,
that's all you got going.
Space is a character, so.
Yeah, but that was not what I. And the fourth secret letter is going to be your brains. Like, no, that's not how this is going to work. I'm not explaining the show because you should listen to the first part for that.
Oh, is that how it's going to work?
We talked about this
yes,
last week.
Yes, we did. I forgot about
that. I had
to
explain it twice, and this time I'm not explaining it none.
That's fair.
Also, yeah, if you fair. Hear more background noise than usual, the air conditioner's on because it just got out of hand. I understand in a few days I'll open the windows for a little while again, but
so then
it got crazy.
So this one you're going to hear the air conditioner. The next one you won't. And then the one after that
you'll hear
again.
The air conditioner again. No, it's just been, it got, I had one night that was just like, it's so hot and humid. I can't take it anymore.
Well, humidity, that's the killer.
Yeah, exactly.
I
mean,
I know everybody says that it's a cliche, but it is true. Most people can tolerate a pretty high level of heat. It's that humidity.
Well, and even and me using the pool to cool off is way less effective.
Yeah.
If it's humid.
Yeah, because you get out of the pool and all that water that's on you doesn't evaporate.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where the coolness comes from, is the evaporation.
Exactly. I mean, some of it is the intentional hypothermia I do by sitting in a 71-degree pool for 10 minutes.
Intentional.
That's what it is. That's how I get a lot of it done, is I intentionally try and lower my core temperature just a teeny bit so that I'm cold. But yeah, so we finally had to, and as a project like this one, I just turned on, but the other one, we had to get it set up in the window and
all in place.
And the cats are a little spastic right now because, all the windows are closed. And in fact, that one, they can't even look out the window anymore. So it's traumatizing them a little bit, but too bad they don't pay rent. So for us, it's only been a week.
Yeah.
So, how has your week been?
Good. We're still watching Gentleman Jack. It's really good. If you haven't started
watching. It's definitely on the list. It's getting a second season, I believe, so.
Yes, I heard that. It seems like we were watching other HBO things. My wife got HBO so we could watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And
Westworld.
We managed to watch Westworld, and there was some other HBO show we managed to watch, like, you know, the wrong way, you know, like going online and finding places that have it that shouldn't have it kind of stuff. But now we probably will watch it on there because here's the thing. A second season of Big Little Lies, is that what it's called?
Big Little Lies, I think so.
Is coming, and we liked the first season all right, so we'll probably watch it.
Native Son's on there.
It might be that they keep putting shows on we want to watch, and we're like, all right, fine, it's worth us keeping, you know, paying the stupid fee or whatever. And then before you know it, another season of Gentleman Jack will be out. So that's how they get you, right?
That's how they get you. Keep
the shows coming. And Westworld, we do watch that. So
we haven't watched second season. I don't know if we will.
I thought it was okay. It wasn't as good as the first season.
No.
Not even close. But
And it is getting a third, I believe.
Yeah, we will watch the third season. But other than that, you know, just doing the work we've been doing. Lately, I've been spending a lot of time doing genealogy research because my father always told a story about one of his cousins named David. Okay, so one of my dad's uncles, Clarence was his name, was an alcoholic, and he was really not a good person, you know, because when he was drunk, he wasn't nice. And my dad's dad had to go help him whenever he was lost or passed out somewhere or got in trouble with the law. And my dad remembers his dad doing that a lot. One of his sons, Jack, died in a car accident in 1961, but the other son, David, left the area and then didn't really want anything to do with the family anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, I'm doing genealogy research and stuff. I've been doing it for decades now. And sometimes when you're doing genealogy research, you find people who are living. Like, you know, cousins and stuff that you didn't know you had.
Oh, I thought you meant like liches and zombies
No.
Vampires.
So my dad's connected with some cousins and stuff that he didn't even realize were around, and he's appreciated that. He's liked that aspect of my genealogy work. But he asked me if I could ever find David. He wanted to talk to him, you know, to see, because he understood why David didn't want to have anything to do with, you know, his dad and stuff and that and his family there. But lots of other family lived in the area.
He's like, we're all sober.
Yeah. They were nice.
All right. I'm going to pause you for a second here. Assuming this isn't the case, and I'm pretty sure it's not, you need to adjust now, because this story becomes 1,000 times better if it turns out David is David Hasselhoff. So, go ahead. I'm just saying, the story's way better this way. So much better. Just a little note. Now, but I mean, you tell what you're going to tell now. Just be way better. It's David Hasselhoff.
You know what? Forget it. I'm going to keep telling my story. Anyway, so for the last decade or so, I've been looking for this guy. But as you can imagine, there are a lot of David Wrights in the world. So
and even more David Rawls.
So it's hard to tell. You see all these guys, it's like, I don't know who's who, and I'm not going to contact all of them. We had no idea where he was. He could have been anywhere in the country, not in the world, but in the country. So, as you also might know, I've had
technically he could have left the country, too. So
he could have. But
somewhere else.
But so anyway, as you might also know, I had my DNA tested, and we're on 23andMe and stuff.
Yeah.
This past week, someone contacted me saying that they compared their DNA test to mine, and there was a strong enough match that we must be very close cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that their grandfather's name was David.
Ooh.
And several other things that they told me, and I knew that was David. So I was pretty excited, like, oh, I can finally tell Dad what happened to David.
How's it look?
Unfortunately, though, I found out that David died like 6 months ago.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, no, it's tragic. It's terrible. And so Dad was very sad. But at least he knew what happened to him, where he went. And now he's talking to David's kids. And he's building a relationship with these people. So that's awesome. But unfortunately, he wasn't ever able to talk to David. Because when he's talked to these cousins, and I've talked to them, they can't give us any insight into why he was
there.
He lived in Davenport, Iowa.
Not that far.
So not that far away. He had
also not that much of a step up.
His grandparents still lived in Melcher, and he came back to visit them sometimes. In fact, his grandmother passed away in 1973, and they all went there for the funeral. Well, I mean, and she's buried in Dallas Cemetery. I mean, that's only a couple miles from our house.
Mm-hmm.
So he got back once in a while and never bothered to tell anybody, never bothered to get in touch with anybody. Because back in 73, Uncle Odie still lived in town in the same place. Dad still lived on the farm.
Uncle Odie.
I mean, everybody lived.
That's another piece of the puzzle.
Everybody lived in the same place.
That could be the title of this episode, Uncle Odie.
He could easily have gone to their houses and said, hey, I'm here.
EY or IE?
I.E. because his name was Otis.
Ah, okay.
But he didn't do that. So, and at 73, his dad was long dead. So there wasn't any danger of him running into his dad or really anybody directly associated with Clarence. So he must have had some issue with the rest of the family.
Not necessarily.
Well, nobody knows, though, see?
Yeah, but I'm here to tell you. He also just might not have cared.
Well, that's true. That's true.
That happens quite a bit, and especially given that he went back to see the grandparents and whatever.
But see, here's
maybe
the thing.
He just didn't. He's like, oh, whatever. I don't really know.
My grandfather died. My dad's dad died in a tractor accident just the year before. Now maybe he didn't even hear about it, but you know, I don't know. So, and we don't hold anything against him, mind you.
No.
But it's just,
I'm just telling you it's entirely possible that it wasn't an issue. Oh. It's just that he didn't care.
Well, except that when his kids and grandkids like would ask about it, why wouldn't he tell them? Why wouldn't he say, well, this happened and I don't know those people anymore. So, but he was mum about it. And you know,
so you're saying his kids asked him, why don't you hang out with the family? Yeah. And he said, I'm not telling.
Or kind of. Yeah.
That is weird.
That's a kind of a situation like that. So
that is weird.
So anyway, so they're talking to us and, I've got access to certain genealogy resources that a lot of other people don't. So I was able to find out some things like that, they knew that their that
David Hasselhoff.
David's mother's maiden name was Haining, but her parents' last name was Benson. So they knew that there was some reason why she had a different last name. And I found out, well, her father, the guy that you know as your great-grandfather, was not her great-grandfather. Was not her father. Her father was a different guy, and this is his name, and this is where he lived, and this was the job he had. And
Trish recently found a ad for 23andMe talking about it being the perfect Father's Day present, and she's like, holy shit, it is not.
Not really.
No.
So, So then I found this this half sister of their grandmother that I was kind of excited. Oh, you might be able to meet this person. No, she passed away in 2015. So, and then on top of that, Dad had me doing some research on the family otherwise, and I found out one of his cousin's wives passed away late last year, and he didn't know. I thought for sure he knew. So when I was talking to him about it, he said, "Well, when did that happen?" So there were three people I had to give bad news to him about in like 3 days. It was pretty.
It's not gonna get any better.
No, it's not.
Actually, a husband and a father, two separate people of friends of mine, have died since our last recording.
Wow.
Yeah, it's time for it.
Well, yeah, when you reach a certain age, that's pretty common.
And that's the thing that keeps haunting me. Like, even when we talk about, like, just celebrities and stuff, I'm like, it's gonna be more common.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody, you know, more people die unless you start hanging out with children.
But so, yeah, my week's been taken up with a lot of that genealogy stuff, which is fun and it's interesting, but then sometimes it's a little sad, but that's.
So you haven't watched Good Omens at all?
No, I haven't watched Good Omens. I mean, 'cause that's on Amazon or something, right?
Yeah. You guys don't have Amazon Prime?
No. We might get it. I don't know. Here's another thing. I heard that Warner Brothers is going to start its own streaming service, which means their DC streaming service, they might be abandoning it or something.
There's the thing. Since the AT&T Warner Brothers merger, they're apparently going to do a Warner Brothers streaming service. Also, DC Universe just scrapped Swamp Thing.
Yeah, which barely got started.
People think this could be the beginning of the end for DC Universe. However, there are also some fairly legitimate reasons why Swamp Thing got killed. The biggest of which being apparently they were making it on some major tax breaks in North Carolina, and then something got fucked up and North Carolina gave them way less money.
Oh.
And also back in April, they already got the episode number cut a long time ago.
So I see.
It may or may not be related, but yes, that is definitely something that's being talked about. It's also being talked about like with Disney and controlling Hulu now. But they're still going to do Disney Plus, so, like, you know, who knows?
Well, I mean,
Warner Brothers has a lot of things that's not DC.
They do, and a Warner Brothers, a DC Plus-like Warner Brothers thing, especially if it includes DC, oh my gosh. Mm. That might be worth paying for, because that's going to have a lot of great stuff. That's going to have Harry Potter, that's going to have a lot of stuff. I think it would even have Lord of the Rings, would it? It wasn't Warner Brothers involved?
I'm not sure.
But anyway, there's some great properties there that Warner Brothers might have. So, what if they had all of the old Warner Brothers cartoons? Probably not the racist ones, though.
No, I would assume they would take those up, but otherwise, yeah.
Anyway, how was your week?
Something in there. I was gonna say a thing, and I forgot what it was.
sorry.
I forgot.
I broke your groove there.
It was exciting. So much. It was about David Hasselhoff.
Was it?
No.
My story wasn't.
I know.
Obviously. Sorry.
Now I'm stuck trying to figure out if this episode is going to be called Excuse Me, David Hasselhoff, or which is something I said when I burped while you were talking, or Uncle Odie, because that's also nice.
What's wrong with Uncle Odie? What's your deal? That seems like...
That's not a real person's name.
Otis Wright was his name.
Yeah, Otis is a name, although even then...
Uncle Odie.
There are very few Otises, Odi out there.
You know, a popular name on that side of the family was Bird. I think two of the siblings' first name was Bird, and they went by their middle name. My grandfather's name was Bird Clifton. And I think he had an uncle named Bird Alexander. Bird was a very popular name, a male name. I don't know why, but... But we could easily have called, someone could have called my grandfather Uncle Bird if they wanted to.
Uncle Birdie.
Uncle Birdie, sure.
When I was little, and my cousins were slightly less little, you know the thing like how a lot of nicknames come around because kids can't pronounce things correctly?
Oh, yeah, sure, right.
Gamma, because you couldn't say grandma and
stuff like that.
I think this may have been before I was born, because my mother, for a while, went by Kathy, not Kate. Her name's Kate.
Oh.
But she used to be a Kathy, and actually, I think when she was even younger, she was a Katie for a while. But she's been a Kate my whole life. But at some point, when my cousins were little, somehow out of that, what they came up with was Kaka.
Okay.
And that's what they called her well into adolescence, maybe even early adulthood.
Mm.
And I grew up hearing them call her that. And I thought it was funny because that's not her name. Mm. I didn't know, like, I knew that word before I knew that word.
Yeah, sure, sure.
So that was a weird one to find out.
We called my mom's mom Gracious.
Oh, I could see that one.
My brother Scott called her that. And for years, my dad's parents were Grandma and Grandpa, but my mom's parents were Granddad and Gracious. And we didn't even think there was anything weird about it until we got into like high school and we thought, why are we calling her that? Because she said Gracious.
I apparently used to say Grandpa and Grandpa.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't get Grandma. So when I was talking about them, I'd say Grandpa and Grandpa.
Oh.
And then, yeah, my maternal grandparents were just Grandma and Grandpa. And my paternal ones was Grandma Bins, because that was her last name. And I think Grandpa Ted, that didn't come up too often because I didn't know him and I wasn't really related to him because he was her second husband. My actual paternal grandfather I met once when I was 3. He was very estranged from the family and a raging alcoholic. So I met him once when I was 3. I don't remember it. I've seen pictures. And I inherited a bike from him when he died. That's the whole experience with him. So Trish is a whole deal. Her maternal, who were the close one, like they were nearby,
mm-hmm.
were Grandma and Papa. Is Grandma Betty. And you had to say Grandma Betty because there was also Grandma Kate, who was like a great-grandmother.
Sure.
There were a couple other grandmas
right,
in
right,
there.
Right, right.
And then Papa. But you had to say Papa Long, generally speaking, which is his last name, because on the East Coast were the paternal ones, and they were Mimi and Papa.
Mm.
When my niece and nephew, when Trish's sister's kids happened, the first one, I don't know if she picked it or if this was what she said, but she goes by, my mother-in-law goes by Grammy now. And then the one that was a bad pronunciation that just stuck with my father-in-law is Humpa.
Mm.
And that's weird to talk about outside of family, but it's a thing. Like, he gets shirts monogrammed with it. Like, he's Humpa. That's what we all call him now.
Sometimes my dad's mom, because my dad's parents lived closer. My mom's parents lived an hour and a half away. We rarely ever saw them.
Yeah.
But sometimes dad would call his own mother Granny, you know, and so sometimes we'd call her that. With an N. You were saying Grammy with an M. Grammy, right?
Yes, Grammy. Yeah.
Granny with an N. But my mom's mom, if we ever called her that, she got very angry.
Mm.
because when she was growing up, sanitary napkins were sometimes called granny rags. So whenever we called her granny, that's what she thought of, and she hated it.
Trish used to get really annoyed with me because her dad's sister is Aunt Susie. Her actual name is Susan.
Yeah.
And I would call her Susie instead of Aunt Susie. And she says, no, it's Aunt Susie or it's Susan.
Oh, okay.
But she can't. It can't be Aunt Susan or Susie. And so I said, fine, I'm going to call her George. And it's a running gag. I call her George. She calls me George. However, it's only kind of a running gag because she is very old and I see her about once a year and she frequently forgets this is a thing. So she has to be re-reminded that we call each other George.
So I've had various nieces and nephews in my life, and I had certain nieces in my previous marriage.
Mm.
But in all the time that I've had nieces and nephews around, I've only been called Uncle Bill like a few times.
Mm.
Do you get called Uncle Tony or just Tony?
I get called Uncle Tony by the majority of the world.
Well, that's true. You told me that once, right?
This started when I was in middle school.
Yeah, yeah.
My friends' little brothers would call me Uncle Tony, and it just, there's something very avuncular about me. And people have always called me Uncle Tony, and there was a brief time where I was Papa Tony in college, but otherwise Uncle Tony, and people at work know me as Uncle Tony
now. But your nieces and nephews call you that?
Yes.
Just Tony?
My Trisha's sister's kids call me Uncle Tony.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes I think Buccio calls me Uncle Tony. I don't know that my nephews, my brother's kids have ever called me that. I mean, it's one of those, they don't really call me anything.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, hey, what's, but like when they're referring to me, I think Uncle Tony is common.
And
especially because as part of the training, when you get new children, be they new nieces and nephews, is to teach them to say, whatever, Uncle Tony.
Yeah, right.
Because I will say such bullshit.
Because my niece, my brother's, the brother lives in Alaska, his daughter is going to school in back near Des Moines in Indianola. So I've been around her a lot. I don't think she, I might have heard her call one of the other siblings Uncle So-and-so or Aunt Heidi,
mm-hmm.
my sister. But I don't think I've ever heard her call me Uncle Bill. And she would say Bill. It wouldn't be William.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my brother, my youngest brother recently married a woman who had kids. And I don't know if he's instructed them to call us Uncle, you know, because we're not technically related, but sometimes that doesn't matter.
Yeah, and sometimes it does ways. And that's, there's been some of that in my family.
Dad got married, I technically have a stepbrother because she has a son. One kid. So technically he's a stepbrother, but I don't know if they'd be okay with me calling him that.
All of my brothers-in-law, in any form, are very into referring to me as their brother and calling me bro. One of them, I'm not entirely sure why, because he grew up with a lot of brothers and stuff and whatever, but like Trish's brother and my sister's husband were the only boy in four kids and an only child, respectively. And so I think they get very into the idea of having a brother. And they're very big into that. And I'm fine with that, and I call them that back.
My wife's siblings, I'm very much into sister and brother, like treating them like that and calling them that.
But, like, they will, like, conspicuously refer to me that way.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's cool. But I just always notice. I'm like.
Yeah. I actually do the same thing with her family because she's got two brothers and three sisters. Two brothers and two sisters. And
I did not know this.
Yep. And she's got several nieces and nephews.
Mm.
So, you know, I like to be very, familial with them. And I think they do. They like it, too. Her grandma, her mom's mom, I was very good friends with. When she passed, we went to Clear Lake and I spent a lot of time with family members who I hadn't really spent that much time with because some of them live far away. And that was really nice. I like her family quite a bit, and I think we all get along pretty good.
I call my mother-in-law mom a lot, but not always. I switch it up. Some of it's a context thing, and often depending on what I think will be easiest to get her attention or like who I'm talking with. Because in some cases saying mom would confuse people, in some cases saying Pam would confuse, like, it varies.
I call her mom
a lot. And there really is a vibe, especially for me in that family, that I'm just another kid.
Sure.
That everyone, including Trish, are just my siblings when I'm there. And
that's nice, though, right?
I mean, her favorite child, clearly.
To feel that
so,
way?
No, it's
feel so close to
it's
people
fun.
Like
it was
that.
Weird at first. I wasn't expecting it, but I don't think Trish calls my mom too often. She does sometimes.
Hmm.
But she just doesn't know her, so we don't spend as much time.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
Are
you guys going to get out there this year sometime?
Oh, yeah. Every year. In fact, this year's going to be the grand, the whole, there's three trips in one.
Oh.
We're going to go out and spend a week in Oregon. And then we're going to drive up to Seattle and go to a two-day convention called Geek Girl Con with Trish's youngest sister, Stephanie.
Sure.
And then, after that con is over, we are going to stay in Seattle, except not really. We are going to do a little package thing where you get on a ferry in Seattle and you go over to Victoria, British Columbia and stay overnight and then come back the next day.
Well, that sounds like fun.
And then the day after that, we'll fly out of Seattle back home.
When is this going to happen?
November.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be very... I'm excited. I'm also really nervous because at the end of a trip, no matter whether it's been good or bad, I'm usually very eager to get home. And this is three trips.
Yeah, right.
All together. So I'm a little worried about that. But I'm pretty excited, too.
Well, we should talk about your week before we run out of time.
We saw Good Omens because we're good-hearted people.
And was it as good as you hoped?
Yeah, definitely. I don't really have any criticism of it particularly. Huh. I mean, I could nitpick things, but no, it's really good. Highly recommended. The best parts are the bits with the two main guys, with David Tennant and Michael Sheen playing off each other, are absolutely the best bits. John Hamm, however, close second. He does an amazing job as the Archangel Gabriel. He nails it. A bunch of actors I'm not used to seeing in things, or that I haven't seen in a long time. Josie Lawrence, a comedian I only know from the British version of Whose Line Is This Anyway back in the 80s, plays a role in this. I mean, the whole thing is a comedy, but it's a role that takes some doing, and she did a great job. Jack Whitehall, who's a comedian I know now, but I don't know of as an actor at all, has a big part in this. The woman who played Dorothy in that shitty, shitty Wizard of Oz TV show, Emerald City. But she did a perfectly fine job in it. She's in this.
Oh, okay.
Michael McKean is in this. Just Michael McKeaning it up all over the place. Miranda Richardson is in this, and I didn't figure that out until the second to last episode. One, her character tends to be a very heavily made-up woman. But also, I used to be such a huge fan of her. Apparently, I haven't seen her in a while. She's much older. Like, in the very last episode, there's a scene of her without a lot of makeup on, and I'm like, I might have been able to guess that was her, but
so
she's
this,
way older
this
than
is like
I thought.
Netflix. You can binge the whole thing in one.
Yeah, they just put all six episodes out.
Okay.
It is all sitting there. After I was done, I read AV Club had done a episode-by-episode recap and review.
Sure.
They gave all the episodes fairly high scores. But they had a lot of criticism.
Oh.
I don't think it was a coincidence. The person in question had read the book again just before watching the movie. I did not, and I haven't read the book in a long time, and so I'm very unclear about it. There's a lot of bits I get that are references. There are also, apparently there's a lot of Doctor Who Easter eggs in it. There's a very clear Neil Gaiman Easter egg and Terry Pratchett Easter egg in the second to last episode, although I haven't read enough Terry Pratchett, so I didn't get that one. And I agreed with a lot of things they were saying. There were weaker parts, there were stronger parts. Sometimes there are things that basically mean are not translating book into movie so well in places. But despite all that, I don't really have a criticism. It's just really good, and I recommend it to everybody. It's really good stuff.
Well, I hope we get to see it sometime.
Otherwise, yeah, not a lot going on. Almost finished with Lucifer. I got one episode left in the season. I almost just started watching it last night because I watched the second to last one. That's still being...
We almost saw Godzilla King of Monsters before tonight, but didn't happen.
Yeah.
I know it's
I
not...
thought
critics
aren't I liking, might.
Critics aren't liking it, but we're going to see it anyway.
And then I kind of decided I wouldn't.
We'll see it. In the theater, probably.
You going to see Dark Phoenix?
I don't know. I kind of would like to, but I don't know if we'll do that. We will definitely see it sometime, but I don't know if we'll
Trish
the
is going to. She wants to, and it looks like she's arranging it so I don't have to. So that's good.
Because you don't want to see it?
I don't want to see it. For a variety. I mean, I've been out of X-Men since First Class. I have no interest to get back. I'm also obsessive enough that I wouldn't want to watch it without having watched
things before.
Days of Future Past and Apocalypse.
Yeah.
I am kind of over the X-Men in general. And I have not heard good things.
I heard that Sophie Turner does a good job in the role. I heard that. Did
I heard they had to drastically reshoot and change the climax of the film because by complete accident, it looked remarkably similar to the climax of Captain Marvel.
Oh.
Which is, I believe, is totally by accident because I know the stories well enough that I'm like, yeah, no, I can see why you would do that and it would be weird because of the timing, but yeah.
So do you think the MCU is going to have reboot X-Men or something, or have X-Men as part of their story eventually? Or
I don't know. There's a lot of talk about that. It gets weird because they have purposely steered out of mutants because they had to. That's part of the deal.
Yeah.
And consequently, they have made characters who are technically mutants but aren't in the MCU.
Still, I mean, the MCU has, like, gone back on things 1,000 times and nobody cares. I mean, everybody just watches them anyway.
I mean, we'll see what happens, you know. I'm not required anymore, so we'll see.
Would you go to an MCU created Fantastic Four, like, that's, like, in the MCU and that Feige has a part in creating and everything?
I would go to any Fantastic Four that people said was good.
Okay.
That enough people were really... Because, like, that hasn't happened.
No, that's true.
Ever.
I think I'd like to see that. I'm not a big Marvel fan, but I think I'd like to see a good Fantastic Four movie.
I don't hold a lot of stock in Fantastic Four, but I see potential.
Yeah, yeah. I do, too, for some reason. I don't know what
but
it is.
But, I mean, I did go see the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And did not care for it.
Mm.
Didn't bother to go see the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course... wasn't going to go near the monstrosity that was the Miles Teller, Kate O'Mara.
I mean, I watched them all, but they weren't what they could have been. They were disappointing for sure.
Well, for starters, let somebody do Doctor Doom right. Doctor Doom is a fascinating character.
He really is.
And
really
no
is.
Version in the movies has been anything like the character. I mean,
why is that so
not
hard?
Even just like they didn't get it right. They just invented him as a totally different
yeah.
thing.
Why is that so hard, I wonder?
I don't know. In the last one, he was just a goddamn blogger. The fuck is going on?
I guess I didn't think about that.
Yeah, just a really angry blogger.
Well, you know, Feige's pretty good about bringing things to the screen. You know, I got to give him that. And so maybe he can make it happen.
He's pretty good at making movies... look good. He's not pretty good at necessarily picking what goes up there, but
well, I mean, I'm just saying that they're serviceable. Let's say that,
and
some of them make lots of money.
Very few movies in the MCU am I now going to be like, I gotta go see that.
Right, right.
From jump.
Yeah, right, right.
But I'll probably see any of them where the general buzz is like it's really good.
Sure.
Or if it's a character that I'm like, I like this character, and they're like, they do decent by them.
Right.
And some sequels. Like, I'm seeing Black Panther 2. No matter what is said, I'm seeing Black Panther 2.
Well, we liked...
Can almost certainly say that about Guardians 3 and Captain Marvel 2.
Yeah, we're going to see
Black Panther, I'm definitely seeing, so...
Yeah, we'll see that, too. I like superheroes in general. Everybody knows that, and I like superhero movies.
I'm getting some fatigue on them.
Not me. I love the fact that we have so many superhero movies, and I'm glad they're
Did
being
you see
successful.
Brightburn?
Not yet, but I will. I just wish DC was being more successful because I obviously prefer them. I prefer them so much.
I have read up on Brightburn. Keep your expectations low.
Oh, they are, believe me. But I still want to see it.
I'm just disappointed. I was very excited by the idea.
Oh, okay.
And apparently they're like, yeah, what if we just make the same generic horror movie we always make, but this time... The ghost is actually Superman. Like, apparently, they just really wasted it.
That's too bad.
They just really just made...
That's too bad.
Same, and that's what I'm hearing with Dark Phoenix, too. They're like, Dark Phoenix is one of the most amazing comic story arcs in comic history.
Yeah, in comics. That's right.
And this, the best thing I've heard about it so far, looks like every other damn X-Men movie.
That's too bad. I still hear she did.
Although it's still better than I would think. Of course she did. I mean, again, the woman who played Dorothy in that shitty Emerald City TV series played her quite well.
Yeah.
It was still, people still need to apologize to me. Vince D'Onofrio still needs to apologize for that goddamn movie. And given some of the shit he's made, and this is the first time I'm asking him for an apology, it's saying something. Vince, get with me.
Some of the ideas were good. They just didn't execute it very well. I liked some of the ideas. I thought, oh,
did
that's
you actually
cool.
watch Emerald City?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I would have.
See, I didn't like how they did any of it, but it was absolutely oozing with untapped potential.
Yeah, yeah.
There
sure.
were so many things that could have been awesome.
I would
none of them were.
I would have kept watching it in the hopes that they would have made something out of
not the least of which is the Tip Ozma thing. I don't know how they did that so poorly, but they did. Like
yeah,
that,
that's true. They really
that was a moment because that is such an it's such a weird thing in Baum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like at the time it was such a throwaway concept as to be patently ridiculous.
Right, right.
And now it is on the cutting edge of current political issues.
That's right.
And they managed to miss both those marks.
Yeah, that's true.
And just kind of make it awkward and uncomfortable for everyone involved.
Yeah. I totally agree. Because when I knew they were doing that, I thought, oh, this might be interesting.
Absolutely.
And then
could have been
amazing.
And then
they missed it.
And they killed it with their casting.
Well,
that,
that's
I mean,
part of it.
This beautiful. No, sorry, but I mean killed in a good way. They nailed it with their casting.
Oh,
I thought
okay.
that was a wonderful person to play it.
Okay.
I never saw him before, but I mean, I thought their performance was very believable for the character. They just didn't give any writing or any development.
Right,
or,
right.
It was just a mess.
Yeah, it was too bad. It's too bad. I liked a lot of things they did, and I would have liked to see it.
And visually,
keep going.
It was stunning.
Because sometimes it's like you've often observed. Sometimes a show is just gets out of the gate and it's kind of not doesn't have its legs, but after a while it really kind of picks up steam and it can be really good. And like you said, there's a lot of potential there, but yeah, it just
and
didn't
it
work.
Happens less these days, I think, and part of it is things don't get a chance.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not necessarily opposed to that. If your show takes 3 seasons to get decent. We could have spent that money on a show that was decent to start with.
Well, I think shows benefit from being on a platform that requires you to put the whole season together in one go. I think that helps.
Yes, although technically none of them require that. They
well,
just Netflix has a tendency to do that. Amazon has a tendency to do that.
Right, right.
Sometimes they don't.
But I mean, I don't think people realize how often a series can change course right in the middle of it. You know,
yeah.
You've got that hiatus in the middle and everything.
And frequently that's when retooling happens.
Yeah, and sometimes
Fringe is the best example
sometimes
ever.
Sometimes disastrously, sometimes not, but
the first half of the first season of Fringe was not great. The second half was 12 times better, and they drastically changed a bunch of shit.
They changed it a lot. Yeah.
And it made it so much better.
But a lot of times that's not the case.
No.
A lot of times it changes for the worse, and it's not good.
I love when they change the whole premise. We haven't had that much since, like, the 90s. But that the 90s was very big on, this isn't working, let's make it supernatural.
Yeah, that's right. They'll change things a lot.
The freaking Baywatch Nights did that hardcore. Baywatch Nights was a show about David Hasselhoff running a private investigation agency, and it sucked. So then the second season was about David Hasselhoff as a private investigator who fucking hunted werewolves and shit.
What?
And,
that's hilarious.
And they had, David Carradine most famous for before his death? Before Kill Bill and all that. Kwai Cheng Kane, what was that called? What was the TV show? Where he was the monk in the Old West.
Yes. Ah, if you hadn't asked me, I wouldn't
right?
be able to say. I hate that. I don't remember.
How are we forgetting this?
I know, that's embarrassing.
People are screaming it at us
I know. Shoot.
But they did a sequel series.
Yeah.
The Legend Continues.
Yeah, right.
With him as a very old Asian man and his weirdly redheaded son who was a cop. And that show went on for a while. In fact, that was one of UPN's flagship shows. It was Time Tracks. Kung Fu! It's just called Kung Fu!
Are you sure?
Yes, Kung Fu, and then it was Kung Fu, The Legend Continues.
Okay. That doesn't seem right to me, but you're probably...
No, it wasn't at all, but that's what I called it. And Babylon 5 was the other flagship, except it bombed, so it took a year before they actually started doing it. But this is when UPN came out. And so I watched that show. Even though I hadn't really watched the original Kung Fu very much, I had this obsession with David Carradine. So I really thought that show would be cool. And it was very Asian-y, which I was also into at that age. But it was very much like, you know, oh, this is ancient historical stuff. Oh, this is organized crime stuff, whatever. And then I'm watching some episode one time, and somebody actually could... Like the beginning of a new season, and somebody could astrally project out of their body in a fight scene. And I was like, wait, what? Nobody ever did. And then it became things like, no, this mob boss is actually an ancient god from 3,000 years. And I was like, what? That was the first time I, as a young person, like, recognized, like, what is happening? Something... Like, if this shit... Because now it's happening every episode, and it never happened before.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems weird they didn't mention it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now that kind of stuff just cracks me up. Well, and I never watched it... Felicity?
Felicity, yeah. I think that had the gallant that was in Americans later. What's her name?
Yes. Carrie Russell.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of was her... That's how she was discovered, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Felicity was her big break.
First thing. Yeah.
And it started as a standard WB, I think, show.
I think so.
About a girl who really likes this guy and falls into college and college life, but she's pining for this guy. It ended with her dying, I believe dying, in a messed up... time travel witch's spell that she cast.
What? Really?
She cast a spell to go back in time so that she could be with him or whatever. Yeah, apparently the last season went off the rails. And it had magic and shit, and she cast a spell, and like something went wrong. And I don't know, she butterfly affected herself or so. I think she died. And I don't know. Mm. It ended really badly.
Huh.
Both in terms of narrative and in terms of quality. I only recently found out about that one. Yeah, because I never watched that show. But yeah, apparently...
I never saw it either.
Shit got weird.
I didn't know anything about it.
If you know shows that suddenly change their tone, and especially if they change their tone for supernatural shit, because that's the stuff that cracks me up, tell us on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. We should probably draw a thing.
Okay. Supernatural, that's funny.
They all did it back then, mostly in the 90s. It was weird.
Craig wants to know, what's the worst
Craig.
Thing what's the worst thing you've ever had on a pizza? I don't think I've ever had
3-year old child.
Yeah.
I didn't eat him, he was just sitting in my pizza, and I'm like, Now my pizza is ruined. Yes.
I've never had anything bad on a pizza that I can recall. But that's if someone told me something was on there I didn't want, I just didn't eat it.
Yeah. I never had anchovies on a pizza until, like, my 30s.
My wife loves that.
It's pretty good.
She likes it a lot.
I like it. The problem is it's very strong, and it's not... I can't... There's not... It's not good for pairing, in my opinion.
Mm.
So, like, I liked it, but I'm never in the mood for it.
Mm.
So I had it a few times when I first started discovering it, and then I just never have bothered since then. No, I haven't had a lot of terrible stuff on pizza.
Yeah, I can't think of a single time where there was a pizza I ate and I thought it was terrible. You might like this.
In Japan, sweet corn, very common pizza topping.
You told me that once, and that sounds good.
Also octopus. Also mayo, but it's Japan. They kind of put mayo on everything. It's one of the things I like about them.
I mean, maybe Craig has something in mind that was on a pizza once that he didn't like.
I'm assuming. Maybe it was tea. Because Craig doesn't care for tea, which I'm still amazed he gets to live in the UK.
I can't think of... I mean, when
I was telling Stu about that. He hasn't listened to the episode, but I was telling Stu, and Stu was flabbergasted. He's like, I've never met a Brit that doesn't like tea.
When I look at an ingredient list for pizzas, like at a restaurant...
Yep.
And considering that I used to eat meat, you know, so when I see meat ingredients, they don't like gross me out or whatever. I'm not going to eat them, but they fit in with everything else as toppings that are like, yeah, I could see this on a pizza. I mean, I don't care if it's sauerkraut or pineapple or any of that stuff. I've had lots of those things on pizzas and they were always fine. So I've never even heard of a topping put on a pizza that I thought that's not appropriate on a pizza.
And here's the thing.
I mean, even when we talk about mayo, it's like, that sounds fine to me.
Nowadays, nothing is sacred on a pizza. I mean, like, you can order pizza and the only thing you know for sure is it's going to have crust.
These days, yeah. You wouldn't even know what sauce, necessarily.
Well, I mean, the point is it's not a foregone conclusion what
right,
sauce.
That's right.
Some places it is, but in a lot of places you can get all sorts of sauces.
Yeah, that's right.
And all sorts of cheeses and all sorts of toppings. So basically, if you're saying something's horrible on a pizza, you're saying it's terrible on crust.
Or you just don't like it, obviously.
Which is what I think it means.
Yeah, right.
Like, so the most horrible thing you had on a pizza was something you don't like. In that case, it's easy for me. Green olives. I have eaten pizza that had green olives on it. I really do not like green olives.
I have not enjoyed
green olives on the pizza, so it's green olives.
I'm a vegetarian, obviously, so I don't eat meat. But when I did eat meat, I probably wouldn't have been down to eat something that I wasn't used to, like snake or gator or something like that. But the fact of the matter is, except for my being a vegetarian, there aren't very many things I won't eat. It's hard for me to think of something I wouldn't.
And again, a lot of the stuff is just like food.
Yeah.
So bad things on pizza are just bad things. Like pizza is such a universal. Pizza, ice cream. I forget what else. Are the things that is like.
Although.
You can't ruin it as long as you're staying in the realm of food. Even at its worst, it's still
pretty decent. Though. I like beets. I know you don't like beets.
That would be a deal breaker.
I like beets, but it is hard for me to imagine it on a pizza. Like, how would that go with anything else?
Oh, no, easy. If you roasted it, you could do it pretty easily with some onions and mushrooms, maybe. I mean, other sort of earthy things.
Oh,
I'm seeing balsamic drizzled over it, whatever you got going on.
That'd be good.
Not tomato sauce,
though, right?
I mean, you could. I wouldn't. I would garlic and olive oil kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'd be more into that. And then there's enough. Certain meats could stand up. Pepperoni seems like an off balance, but like a good sausage.
You think?
A good robust sausage. Hmm. I think you could do. I mean, I would vomit, but.
I love beets, man. I love them.
So does Trish.
But I don't think of it as something to put on pizza. Although all that sounded good.
William had the dopiest grin you've ever seen in your life when he said, I love beets.
I do.
Looked like fucking gym neighbors.
One time.
It was ridiculous.
One year we had a CSA and they had a lot of beets. And so like you could get more than just your share of beets. Oh my gosh. It was a great year that year. So good. Beets, and more beets. It was so fantastic. I like pumpkin.
Neon vibrant urine.
I like pumpkin too because my wife will get cans and cans and cans of pumpkin and make pumpkin anything. You can make pumpkin pasta sauce. You can make pumpkin chili. You can make pumpkin pastries, of course. I mean, there's.
Am I Forrest Gump in this, Bubba?
There's all kinds of cool things you make with pumpkin, and it's all awesome.
Pumpkin shrimp.
And like
pumpkin
drinks, hot
burgers.
Drinks.
No, I like pumpkin in things.
Especially pumpkin
desserts,
so
thing. And squash, in general, you can do pretty well.
And
with.
It doesn't have to just be something that you put that you spice like a pumpkin pie or something.
No. But I like
so
I tend to like
savory
sweet
things
with pumpkin. I have had some savory things that are good with pumpkin too. I mean, it works like squash, and squash can work for a lot of things.
Really
I'm working on melon.
Oh, you are.
Well, yesterday I did.
And cucumbers too.
Cucumbers, I'm considering done.
Oh.
Like,
you can't have them, you mean?
They're just there. I mean, I'm not seeking them out, but, like, if a salad comes with cucumbers on it, I eat them.
Okay.
If there's cucumbers in something, especially, no problem. And even on rare occasion, I can be like, that flavor is adding something here. Hmm. But, yeah, I consider my work done with cucumbers. I'm fine on cucumbers.
Because they're related to melon, you know.
That would make sense. But, no, I had been headed towards olives. Not green olives. I think I'm going to have to dye hating those because
I really do think they're
the evidence for the existence of evil.
I like them, but I understand.
But black olives, pretty low key. I'm like, I can work my way through
like
this.
Like Greek olives, maybe.
Kalamatas are a bit much. I could work my way up to that. But just like black olives. Like
now, there are larger green olives that taste different than the kind you usually get.
Yeah, I'm not fucking with that right now. I'm wearing black olives. That's my plan. Okay. I'm like, I'm going to get to it. I haven't gotten to it yet. So yesterday, I'm picking out my lunch. It was massage therapy, so I had to come back and just grab something out of the little market we have at work. And there's fruit salad. I'm like, I need to be eating more fruits and vegetables. This is good. Like all fruit salad, though, all shitty fruit salad, which is most fruit salad, it's mostly melon.
Watermelon, especially.
No, if you're lucky, watermelon. Oh. Usually it's cantaloupe and honeydew, and that's what this was.
Okay.
Just tons of this. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I don't pick melon, but it's not, it doesn't make me gag or anything.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's just, I mean, if somebody's like, here's a big bowl of melon, you need to eat it, and I don't have any other food, all right. I mean, it's not going to be my favorite meal, but I can do it.
Sure.
And also, I'm willing, like, certain amounts of money, like, eat that bowl for, like, $20. I might, you know, whatever. It's not a thing. And so I'm like, yeah, it's just I prefer not. And I'm like, suck it up. Just get it. And it. And I did. And, man, was that some shitty melon. Like, it was crunchy.
Oh, yeah.
It was some low-quality honeydew and cantaloupe. But I ate it. And it worked. It was actually easier in this situation because there was also grapes and pineapple. And so I would eat a bite, and they're like, yeah, that's terrible. And then I just eat a bite of something else.
Sure, sure.
And so I did it. And, yeah, it's not a big deal. So I think I'm gonna power my way through that because that is a thing. A lot of restaurants, you can get fruit as a side. It's way healthier than a lot of other shit I get. But it's usually a lot of melon.
Yeah.
And I've been like, eh, no.
So. But you like watermelon okay?
Watermelon is the one I like best.
Okay.
I still wouldn't seek it out.
Okay.
If I'm at a cookout and somebody's got a fresh watermelon, it's really good. I'm like, okay, I might have a slice of that.
Yeah.
But no. Watermelon on a pizza. See, the only fruit I've ever had on pizza, well, is pineapple on pizza,
yeah,
which can work certain ways.
Awesome.
I spent a lot of years where I wouldn't eat it on the pizza. It's like me and pickles on like a cheeseburger or whatever. I would eat the pineapple off of it and then I would eat the
pizza.
I've
eaten pickles on pizza and that was really good.
I don't care for that as much.
I liked it.
Pickles, especially a dill pickle, has, I mean, I love them, but they have their place. And when they're not in their place,
not on a pizza. No. Yeah.
But what was I saying? Fruit. The only version I have of those is fruit pizza.
Yeah, I've had that.
Like you get it at Hy-Vee.
Pretty tasty.
Well, and it's also bullshit to call it pizza. Fruit pizza, for those of you not aware, you take an incredibly large sugar cookie.
Yep.
Cover it in icing, basically.
Yeah. And then put some fruit on it.
And stick fruit on it. And it's good, but we call it a pizza because it is flat and round. And that is not a definition of a pizza.
And has a crust. You said crust before. You just said crust.
But that's the thing. I'm saying this isn't a crust. Okay. This is a large cookie.
Well, what's the difference?
Because
the crust has to be bread, a kind of bread, like a thin cracker bread.
The crust
bread
has to be inherently made to serve as a catch for other ingredients. I consider the icing and fruit on a quote-unquote fruit pizza to simply be the decoration on a cookie.
I see.
Like, you're not going to call a gingerbread man, like, a icing pizza or a face pizza. Like, no.
Or a man face.
Exactly. It's a gingerbread
pizza.
Man that is decorated with those things.
Okay.
This is a sugar cookie. It's decorated with this shit. That being said, we call it fruit pizza. The kids, like, this is a funny thing. The kids, eating super unhealthy, would eat candy all the time if they could or whatever, love fruit pizza. And when we get it and we take it over there, they eat all the fruit off of it and don't want to eat the cookie part.
What?
Right?
That's weird.
And we've even told them, we're like, it's a cookie. I mean, they've tasted it and shit. I do not know what the fuck is going on. And it's not like they don't have fruit in their house, but I don't know. If you'd like to comment on whatever the hell I was just talking about, go to the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com. Also, write in, please, because Azure Town is going to take over. Or Craig at this point. He's really pushing it. But themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com and write us yourselves, and maybe we'll talk about you. and we'll make fun of you. All right, yeah, no, I think this is probably going to be, excuse me, David Hasselhoff, just because from an SEO perspective,
Uncle Odie
does not bring a lot of hits.
It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.